T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
And by the way, folks, you can text us at 866-301-1020. Brought to you by Ride Automotive. It's the best deal in Pittsburgh. And check out the Santa Spectacular tonight, NRG Santa. It's Point State Park. Kicks off at 5. Nice. A lot of stuff going on. Presented by S.W. Randall Toys and Gifts and Fireworks. Brought to you by Oakmont Bakery. Details at kdkradio.com. It's a good night. We usually go. We used to go and stay downtown in a hotel. Kids loved it. Until I'm kind of sort of 100%, which I'm thinking is going to be closer to Christmas, which I'm cool with. We haven't been doing anything like that. Mostly what Daddy does is controls the remote at the house. Although I was out this morning shoveling, I threw down some salt. And it's really kind of exercise for me. But it's... I'm also very skinny, which is kind of, that's an issue. But, so I'm wearing long johns. I have 3 shirts on because I'm cold all the time. I'm not complaining. I'm blessed. I'm blessed that I'm on the road to recovery. I'm blessed that I'm feeling better. I'm blessed that we were able to reach so many people to talk about the HPV cancer and the virus and the vaccination that I would beg you to get for your kids or anybody younger than 47, by the way, to prevent this cancer. 30,000 cancer cases a year, like mine, could be prevented. Seriously. Think about it. I wanted to read a note, and Bob, hang in there. I'll grab you in a second. As we transition here, I want to talk about, there's so much on my plate today, from the ridiculous to the sublime, but very poignant personal note from a close friend. Hey, Marty, you sound great. I'm in my car charging my phone because we have no power. Listening to your show, I too, I'm disgusted with my beloved church, and I'm brokenhearted. See, this is spot on to me. This is a very religious mother and grandmother, unbelievably committed woman of faith. Seriously, who I love to death. I've known since I was a teenager, and I'm brokenhearted. I'm left confused because of the body and blood of Christ, which is why I go to church. That's it. And yet I'm jaded. I haven't been going, me either. I always find an excuse, me too. And other disgusting priests have robbed so many innocent people of so much. You're right. Children and adults who were abused, their families, their lives ruined, and its effects reach those of us who grew up in the faith. And it's all we know. So glad to hear that your treatment is over and will soon be on the mend. Love to Christine, too. See, now that's a woman who gets it and who's hurt by this, just like my wife is, just like I am. And for the folks that don't understand that, they can't believe that I'm still complaining about something that happened 40 years ago. That's on you, man. I'm at a bad place. I told you this. I'm in such a bad place, I quit praying. I have not prayed. I'm trying to think. Since my mom died. Different issue. I got more issues than Sports Illustrated. Look, I'm, you know, bouncing around in that spiritual area right now, and then it compounds itself when the lawyer's on your show, and live, he names a priest that you trusted. And you retrace your steps through a tunnel that he took a boy through and raped him. So then the pain starts all over again, and the frustration. And what the hell are we going to do with our spirituality? Because my kids have to have God in their lives. We all do. We all don't. Some people don't. And again, I don't judge. But it's a real bad place to be, folks. I can't stand any of it. Hey, Bob in Pittsburgh, thanks for your patience. Good morning. Hey, Bob.
Marty, how are you?
Thanks for hanging in there, man.
How you doing?
I'm all right.
Sure. Hey, our families are friends. My brother-in-law was in your class. Father Unger married my wife and I and my sister-in-law as well. He had inappropriate comments to say to my sister-in-law before she got married. So I was leery of the guy. Yeah, yeah.
I don't think
she's ever put it out public.
Can you say?
No, I'm not going to say for her, but he did. Everybody in the family knew about it.
He said, hold on, not to be a jerk here, but what was it, sexual stuff or was it just rude?
Yeah, something about a lot of young women think that the first person they have sex with has to be their parish priest.
He did not.
God. I'm telling you, I've heard it.
God.
But I think it's time for Zubek to leave.
Yeah, there's been a lot of discussion of that.
And like you, I'm a fallen Catholic. My sister's a nun from a big family.
Oh my gosh!
It's all disgusting.
How does your sister? What perspectives does she have on it?
Well, everybody in the family thought the guy was a jerk, and you stay away from him. When we were married, he told me I had to give the altar boys money to him, and he would handle it. And of course, I made sure the altar boys got checks made out to their name.
Yeah. By the way, Bob, it's funny you should say this because. The priest I remember from that day was Zubik was there. Do you remember that? Zubik was there.
I do.
In Housen.
I was me, Jason Parrish, St. Pete.
Okay. And so I remember Father Unger, and I was a kid, but I remember he was rude and he was mean. And I remember he was obsessed with money. He was always beating us over the head, our families, about money. But
just a bad man.
But so he made sexual comments. Did anybody report him?
No.
No.
I think back in the day it was taken as maybe this guy's just weird or as a joke or something like that.
When you heard these, that he raped this, the kid was my age, he's my classmate in that tunnel. Did you ever go through that tunnel?
I never went through the tunnel, but we had the same thing at St. Pete. You had a place where the older boys changed, all those kind of things. To my knowledge, we never had any issues with the priest. None of my friends have had, but...
And so
it shapes you to the core.
It does, man. What are you doing? What's your family doing spiritually?
We quit going to church.
Wow.
We raised our kids Catholic. My son went all the way through Catholic college.
Yeah.
I don't go. I saw a man who actually has been on national TV, had a conversation with him, and I saw what it did when it was brought up.
Yeah.
15, 16 years ago.
Yeah.
And that's about when I started getting very angry with the Catholic
Church.
Yeah.
Do you still pray?
On occasion.
Yeah.
On occasion, not as often.
And for the same reasons?
Yep.
Yeah.
You got it.
Yeah, it messes with you. Man, it's a great phone call.
It's hard to pray to something that you know has deceived so many people.
Yeah.
It
screws your head up, man. We're kind of preaching from the same pulpit, brother. Thanks, Bob.
You got it. Take care.
All right, man. It hurts to hear, but... A lot of Catholics in the same place. Hang in there, folks. It's about church with the truth, and that what this has done, too, is it's really hurt a lot of really good priests. One of the best priests I've ever known, who's an amazing orator and who reaches us spiritually, is Father Jim at St. John Capistrano's, a cute little church, kind of Upper St. Clair. But now they split him up and scattered him to the wind. He's couple different churches. But he's such a great man that he called me one day because I haven't been, and he knows that. And it's not that it's me, Marty Griffin, the talk host. It's me, Marty Griffin, the father, who's deeply troubled spiritually. And the greatness of him is he just wanted to talk about it. It's amazing to me. I find it... It's hurt them all to the core. But until their bosses clean house, the house will not be clean. Kind of obvious. Hey, I want to do something here. I want to talk about sports for a second, which we don't do, but I feel compelled to do this. Because I find this whole Le'Veon Bell thing interesting, and I kind of have a different take. And maybe it's because I'm older, maybe it's because of my battle with cancer, maybe because I'm a family man, maybe because I'm the CEO of a business. Maybe it just doesn't matter to me as much anymore, but I just don't get as worked up as some people do, like this guy. I'm not picking on this guy, but I find it fascinating. Dan's take, he's from Brighton Heights, and he wrote this letter. A PG that I snagged early this morning and posted on Facebook and got a ton of commentary. And I just want to talk about the nature of this situation and how ironic it is. So he says, no sympathy for Le'Veon Bell. I hope that all the diehard fans of Yinzer Nation will come to the rescue of Le'Veon. He's being sarcastic, by the way. It's a good letter. I hope that all the diehard fans of the Yinzer Nation will come to the rescue of Le'Veon Bell in his desperate time of need. Mr. Bell found it necessary to take a moral stand and forfeit his one-year salary of $14 million-plus out of principle because he deserves so much more. And who can deny his invaluable contribution to society by running up and down a field with an inflated pigskin ball? Kind of a false assumption right there, but I'll read the letter first. The black and gold bleeders should immediately set up a GoFundMe page for this unfortunate soul. Payments will soon come due on his Maserati and Porsche. There's a mortgage payment on his mansion. He may even have to reduce the size of his household staff, and God help him if he can no longer afford his monthly purchase of high-end bling. It would take the average Pittsburgh worker almost 300 years to make Mr. Bell's salary for 1 year of part-time work. Yes, I do support the free market, but I can also identify both the excessive and obscene. Until we stop the worship and glorification of grown men playing games, this sort of perversion will continue. Athletic games stop building character soon after high school. As part of the corporate marketplace, they inevitably expose the greed and vanity of the players and the idolatry and vacuity of the fans. Dan is bitter. That's a bitter, angry man. Dan Hubert, Brighton Heights. Well written, though, Dan. See, I don't get any of that. He's a jock, man. He didn't want to play. So what? So what? He didn't get enough money. So what? This is right up there with the argument that I have with people when they say, hey, school teachers only make 50 grand. Okay. But they're not playing for a team that's valued at $1 billion on a network that has 18 million fans watching it with advertising revenue in the $7 billion range. That's the game. It's the game he chose. I got no problem with any of this. He made a decision. He made a business decision. It's funny. Nobody mentions it when CEOs get golden parachutes for $75 million on a company that lost money because they're not running up and down a football field. And the game's the game. We don't idolize these people. I don't. I've never had a jock that I look up to in terms of a role model. I just didn't. But I love watching football. I'm going to miss Le'Veon Bell. That man was graceful. I heard Troy Aikman describing him. Troy Aikman's really good, by the way. I heard him describing him as gifted. That's what he is. He's a gifted athlete. I wish we had him. I wish we paid him. I wish he came back. I don't know. I don't know that he's selfish. I don't know him at all. If I'm going to judge him, I'm going to judge him by the choices he makes as a father. Really, that's what troubles me. Decisions that these men make that are both athletes and non-athletes. There's $100 million in child support payments in Allegheny County that are unpaid. $100 million. Those are the men I judge. These guys that live outside the boundaries of football that don't pay their child support and they have good jobs like mine. Those are the guys I judge. Or Le'Veon Bell or Antonio Brown. Between the two of them, I think they have 8 kids. I think they bounce around the country. I think they have no personal responsibility for their actions as a father. That's what troubles me. I don't care what he gets paid. It's the business. It's the business end of it. This silliness that somehow we all worship Le'Veon Bell. I don't think we do. I'm going to miss him, though. Aren't you? I find it fascinating. People get so angry about this stuff. I don't get it. He's a grown man. He made a grown man's decision. So what? He has a mansion. So what? Why do I care? Mark Zuckerberg has $80 billion. Why do I care? I don't. You know what I care about? My kids watching me. Their father doing the right thing. My kids watching my wife, Christine, doing the right thing. Le'Veon Bell, he's an athlete. And on top of that, he's a businessman. And it's a small window of opportunity to make money. If he made a bad decision, we're going to find out. I don't wish him ill will. Do you? Seriously, are you that mad about this kind of thing? 866-391-1020 next. By the way, folks, you can text us at 866-391-1020. That text line brought to you by Ride Automotive, the best deal in Pittsburgh. Bobby writes a great, great friend and a hell of a car salesman. Hey, don't miss the Santa Spectacular tonight. NRG, Point State Park, starts at 5. A lot of stuff going on. It's presented by S.W. Randall Toys. Fireworks brought to you by my man, Sorreo, at Oakmont Bakery. And there's details at kdkradio.com. Be careful down there. It's a great night, though. We should do it every year, but I've been sick, so we're going to pass. But it's a hell of a time. Hey, I want to play a little of the sound. I'm not going to play the whole thing, but just so you understand where this all started. I've played it about 7 times. I find it so entertaining. Kind of like Seinfeld. I've watched every Seinfeld episode at least 20 times, and I laugh hysterically. Every time. Patrick, my business partner's in here with me from Sparked, and every time we hear this, we laugh. We're going to laugh again a little bit, but we're not going to play the whole thing and kind of set the stage for this discussion. Listen.
Thank you, Mr. President. I wanted to challenge you on one of the statements that you made in the tail end of the campaign in the midterms. That this caravan was an invasion. As you know, Mr. President,
I consider it to be an invasion.
As you know, Mr. President, the caravan was not an invasion. It's a group of migrants moving up from Central America towards the border with the U.S.
Thank you for telling me that.
And why did you characterize it as such?
I consider it an invasion. You and I have a difference of opinion.
But do you think that you demonized immigrants in this election to try to keep
them? I want them to come into the country, but they have to come in legally. You know, they have to come in, Jim, through a process. I want it to be a process. And I want people to come in, and we need the people. You know why we need the people, don't you? Because we have hundreds of companies moving in. We need the people.
Right. But your campaign had an ad showing migrants climbing over walls and
so on.
Well,
that's true.
But they weren't actors. They're not going to be doing
that. They weren't actors. Well, no, it's true. Do you think they were actors? They weren't actors. They didn't come from Hollywood. Right. These were people. This was an actual, you know, it happened a few days ago. And
they're hundreds of miles away, though. They're hundreds and hundreds of miles away. That's not an invasion.
I think you should let me run the country. You run CNN.
All right.
And if you did it well, your ratings would be much better.
Let me ask, if I may ask.
So it kept going. And I've played it 19 times because I enjoy it so much. And it kind of, we've talked about it quite a bit. So CNN wins. The media wins. The fake news, the enemy of the people won this. You just heard this, right? By the way, Trump can't blame this judge and say Obama appoints these liberal judges and now they all defend the media. This is a Trump appointee. He hasn't gone there yet. Somehow, he's got to blame somebody, right? He can't. I'm waiting for his tweet here any minute now. What do you think? So listen to this, folks. Timothy Kelly, this just came down, ordered the White House to reinstate Jim Acosta's press pass. He's the guy you just heard going at it with Trump. You know the background. They sued Trump and several of his aides. The lawsuit alleged that CNN and Acosta's First and Fifth Amendment rights, right to due process, right to freedom of speech. He granted CNN's request for a temporary restraining order. It's fascinating. By the way, most of you take the president's side. And most of you have this myopic view of it. All you hear is Jim Acosta the jerk. You don't hear Trump the jerk, which I think is fascinating. They're both being jerks. 866-391-1020. Jump in here. What do you think about this? The result means that Acosta has immediate access to the White House. The judge said while explaining his decision, he believes that CNN and Acosta are likely to prevail in the case overall. CNN is also asking for permanent relief, meaning a declaration from the judge that Trump's revocation of Acosta's press pass was unconstitutional. The legal conclusion could protect other reporters from retaliation by the administration. By the way, also in the room, Fox News lawyers, New York Times, everybody was in there. Wall Street Journal, all the networks sided with this. Well, sure, because what if I have a spat with Trump today? One disagreement and you're out. So then you have to wait and battle this ridiculousness, this silliness. One of the reasons why most of the country's major news organizations, Trump has threatened to strip other press passes. Jump in here, folks. What do you think about this? You heard the exchange. That's the why they suspended him. They also said he grabbed some assistant, which he didn't do. The defendants included Sarah Sanders and John Kelly. Better sue him while he's still there. The judge, Kelly, had been on the federal bench about a year. Was appointed by Trump. He asked tough questions. Then he said he would issue a ruling, and here we go, Friday, this ruling. The White House argues that Acosta deserves to be blacklisted. That there has to be a certain decorum, and suggested Acosta violated that. In that particular incident, we weren't going to tolerate the bad behavior of this one reporter. And she repeated that this bad behavior, we won't allow it. Okay? The judge argued that the Trump White House has the legal right to kick out any reporter at any time for any reason. This has broken decades of tradition. The White House lawyers say it's perfectly legal as a matter of law. The White House Correspondents Association said it's wrong and dangerous. If the president were to have the absolute discretion to strip a correspondent of a press pass, the chilling effect would sever the First Amendment protections afforded journalists to gather and report news on the activities of the president. It's fascinating. So CNN wins for now. In fact, the White House lawyer said Jim Acosta could watch the president on TV and report it then. George says I'm out of line. Am I out of order? The judge agrees with me. George, the judge agrees with me. George, yes. The judge agrees with me.
I understand. So far he does, but let me give you...
What do you mean so far, Chief? What do you mean so far?
No, it's an injunction. The case hasn't concluded.
Yeah, but he said he's likely to agree with them on... As the case concludes. You lost,
well,
George.
He may not, man. He may not.
You lost, George.
Well, but there's an appeal from his court.
Judge Judy has ruled against you.
Well, you may have, but see, you're like Mr. Acosta now. You're jumping to conclusions.
Yes, I am.
Now, let me give you my background because I want you to know how prejudiced I am.
Hold on, George.
I thought Obama was the worst president we ever had, but...
Right. Hold on, George, I need you to wait. Can you hang a couple minutes, buddy? I got to take a break. Will you hang around?
Sure.
All right, thanks, George. Look at George. His background is not like as a truck driver or a surgeon. His background is Obama's the worst president we ever had. Let's get ready to fight. Artie Griffin. Hey, by the way, I'm glad that CNN and all the networks won. But I got to preface this, but I got to tell you the truth, and I've been sticking to my story from day one. Jim Acosta is doing this intentionally because he wants to be famous. I've seen this my whole career. His reputation, and by the way, it just doesn't take on Republicans. He took on Obama in the same kind of issues with Obama, screaming and yelling. It's his thing, man. It's how he derives attention. He brands himself. It pays his bills because the boss pats him on the back for it. So like a Pavlov's dog, it's truth. He goes back in there knowing he has to do this again and again and again because it's his shtick. It's all entertainment, brothers and sisters. Just keeping it real. But I am glad that the judge said, hey, Jim, go in there and raise some hell. Go on back there. Be the dog that you are. But, you know, I think you should ask questions and incite the president for a reason, not just to get all the cameras pointed in your direction. Because it gets old. And then people make judgments about your opinion, your reporting, and your network. And I think it's hurt CNN. That being said, I want to thank George for hanging around. Go ahead, George. George! See, he did not hang around. I counted on you, George. George, I asked George to hang around. I'm not blowing off George. George, call back. You'll be the first guy we take. I am not blowing off George. He said he would hang around. I had to take a break. Ask T. 866-391-1020 if you want to call back, George. Randy Robinson, thanks for your patience, sir.
How you doing, Marty?
Good, brother.
Good. Yeah, I just, you know, a little bit of a disagreement with you on the,
sure.
that this is a big win.
Sure.
I think that, you know, I've been to our state capitol many times, testified in front of House and Senate committees, and,
nice.
And there is a certain decorum
yep.
and a level of respect that you show. And if I didn't conduct myself in the manner that I felt deemed the office and the respect in that decorum, then I could see myself not being invited back or being asked to leave. But
hold on. To address exactly what you said, are you familiar with Daryl Metcalf?
Yes.
Have you heard his obnoxious tirades against a man sitting to his right who's gay, and he says, "Don't touch me. I'm not like you." Have you heard that?
I get you, but my point is...
No, that's my point. He's as obnoxious as Jim Acosta times four, just so you know, just so we're on level ground here. So to suggest that it's always fabulous in Harrisburg and everybody has a decorum just isn't true.
Oh, well, I get you there, but my point is...
Go ahead.
The organization that I represent, I think, should not be banned. In other words, if I can't conduct myself in proper decorum, then I should be, you know, someone else from our organization
that
knows how to be...
They should be
allowed to... And that's where I don't agree with the fact of bringing Acosta back. You could bring CNN back with another, you know, representative. But the funny thing is, the whole incident was based on the triviality of referring to this as an invasion or referring, you know, it could be, how do you want to refer to it, inconsiderate immigrants? I mean, whatever you want to call it, breaking the law is breaking the law, and that's what the president was trying to say. All we're trying to do is make, and so it really, do we win when the courts back up bad conduct and an issue?
Well, what about
really
Trump's bad conduct? Calling people horse face and pig face, and I mean, what about his bad conduct?
I don't think it's good on any level.
Me neither.
When the courts start backing up things that, you know, allow this to happen. I mean, if I stand up in church and get out of line, I mean, shouldn't the priest ask me to leave?
I don't know.
I just don't get this.
No, I get it. And I could tell you're a class act, and it's not your style. But you also got to give me this. You remember Helen? You remember Helen Thomas? She took on like 16 presidents in the same way. I loved hearing. Yeah.
Oh yeah, she'd sit there and just remember when she was older, she'd sit there and she's back and forth, but she did it in a way that she crossed the line to some degree, but she knew when to stop.
No, she didn't. She badgered them, man. But I like you, man. I know what you're saying. There has to be. You got to have a little class, Randy. Little class.
That's what it boils down to, Marty. Thank you, buddy.
Yeah, it's a great phone call. But Daryl Metcalf is ignorant. I've said it 1,000 times. He's ignorant. He should be banned. Anthony, thanks for your patience. Go ahead.
Marty, we talked about this Monday. And,
you know,
unfortunately, a lot of these people obviously didn't pay attention in their social studies or civics classes. Government can't restrict your First Amendment speech.
Seems that way.
The courts are always going to intervene then. And the reason why Fox jumped in, because they remember what Obama was going to do
to
them.
Right.
And they see a Democratic president come down the line. If Trump gets away with this, they'll do it to us.
I agree again.
I mean, it's true.
It's precedent. It's precedent setting. I agree. I want to fly through these. He's right. Anthony's right. George, go ahead, my friend.
Marty, you know, this is big because you had Fox involved in this. You have a conservative judge involved in this. We're seeing higher level now where this man cannot act like an oligarchist. And that's what counts. That's what makes this country great. The Constitution is taking a win.
You know, it's interesting, George. Your observations are spot on. I'm curious as to why we haven't heard from the president yet. Because, you know, he blew up on this.
Yeah, I'd like to see some of his morning tweets.
Yeah, I'm actually very curious as to what he thinks about this. And we'll probably
Marty,
hear from
him. I voted for him. Backed him, supported him, but I'm done.
Yeah. There is no, there are no ground rules for any of these news conferences. Everybody gets ugly with everybody.
Boy, I tell you what, they get a big head and that's it.
Another great point. They're all trying to be famous. I'm telling you, I've lived this. Look at me. It's the look at me mentality. Thank you. It's not just, hey, let's report the news. It's look at me. I'm on TV. I will yell at the president. Go ahead, Sean.
Yeah, Marty, I got to disagree with you. Cool. My whole point is he pushed that intern's arm away. Yeah. Her job is to take the microphone.
By the way, that was rude what he did. That was rude.
It was rude. And I'm thinking a 30-day suspension. I mean, you know, you can't have that conduct on both sides, Marty. Yep. But the president got the microphone. He took his question. And then Jim asked three or four more questions.
He did.
And it isn't fair to his colleagues.
They should do something. It's interesting, your assumptions. They should do something to manage that. Because it happens the entire time. These reporters keep going and they won't give up the mic. It's fascinating to watch. I've never seen anything like it. I mean, that's why people like Trump. This is his shtick. And Jim Acosta, that's his shtick. It's his game, man. You know he's dying. He can't wait to get back in there and fight with the president again. I'm telling you, folks. Go ahead, Phil.
Hey, Marty, first off, welcome back, my friend.
Thank you.
You're a hero to a lot of people.
Thank
by,
you.
Being so willing to do your battle in public.
Feels good. Feels good, brother.
Now we'll fight with you. All the good loving is out the window.
That's all right,
man. Seriously, you're a prime example of what a reporter, an opinion reporter is. On KDK TV, when you did your story,
It's true.
Facts, no opinion. Marty Griffith, the radio star, and you are a star. Sometimes I agree with you. Sometimes I think you're full of you know what.
Right, yeah.
But that's an opinion.
By the way, he's right. Phil is spot on. You're a smart guy. You really are.
Well, I learned it from my grandmother that came from Lawrenceville. And she always said, and I always love when people say about the president, two wrongs don't make a right, and both of them need some soap in their mouth.
No, you're right. Phil, you nailed it today. What a great way. He's right about me, too. When I'm telling a story, it's just the facts, ma'am. We're trying to get somebody help. But on this show, it's opining all day long. Smart guy. He's right.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.